With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. The Taliban is now occupying the capital city of Afghanistan after the U.S. removed its troops. A South Dakotan who served in Afghanistan is criticizing the U.S. withdrawal, but he's also proud of his service. SDPB's Kyle Ireland reports.
Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Ben Jones is the state historian. He served in Afghanistan twice, once as an advisor and later as a member of the group responsible for the transition out of the country. He says the full-scale exit may be counter to U.S. interests.
I would think that some other path to a lessening of the presence while maintaining something there to support the Afghan National Army in its fight against the Taliban would have been preference, in my opinion.
President Joe Biden said in a speech that he stands by his decision to pull out of Afghanistan. He said American troops shouldn't die in a war that Afghan forces won't fight for themselves. Jones is disappointed by those remarks.
The accusation that the ANA won't fight over the past several years is just wrong. The question is, why did they give up in the last several weeks? I don't know the answer to that.
Jones says the U.S. withdrawal leaves many veterans wondering why they were there and what they accomplished. He says the time and effort weren't wasted.
You know, for 20 years, we showed them, the Afghan people, what the possibilities were. And I think that's something that we can be proud of. And we also, the United States and the coalition, prevented an attack like 9/11 from happening again. It's hard to prove the negative, but we can also take some comfort in that.
The Taliban has captured all major Afghanistan cities while the U.S. scrambles to evacuate American citizens and allies. I'm SDPB's Kyle Ireland.
The head of the South Dakota National Guard says Governor Kristi Noem didn't tell him she would use a private donation for the deployment to the U.S. border with Mexico until after the mission was already planned. Noem's decision to accept a $1 million donation from a Tennessee billionaire last month was met with hefty criticism from those who said it allowed a private donor to commandeer a military force. But Major General Jeffrey Marlette told a legislative budgeting committee the donation was not a factor in planning the deployment. Nine men face federal charges in an underage sex sting conducted during the Sturgis motorcycle rally. Men expecting to meet children instead met federal agents who posed as underage victims online. The sting is conducted annually during the rally, but the arrests aren't always connected to the event itself. Eight of the suspects are from the Black Hills and charged with attempted enticement of a minor using the internet. The ninth suspect is a New York man charged with attempted commercial sex trafficking of a minor. One of the suspects is an airman at Ellsworth Air Force Base. The men face up to life in prison if convicted. Mandatory minimums range from 10 to 15 years. A former VFW leader has been sentenced in federal court to life in prison after pleading guilty to sexually exploiting a minor and attempted enticement of a minor using the internet. 31-year-old Adam R. Swift of Box Elder was sentenced Tuesday. He is the former commander of VFW Post 1273 in downtown Rapid City. Authorities say the sexual exploitation charge was for making a four-year-old engage in sexual conduct in order to take and distribute photos or videos of the act. The second charge relates to him trying to meet up with a five-year-old girl for sex. The State Department of Health reports 376 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 and one new death. The latest fatality brings the state's death toll to 2,056. The death was a man in his 20s from Brule County. Active cases are at their highest level since April. There are 1,939 active COVID cases in the state and 105 people hospitalized. Of those patients, 19 are on ventilators. 38 out of South Dakota's 66 counties report at least one new case. Pennington County has the most new cases with 85, and Minnehaha County follows with 66. Nearly 61% of South Dakotans 12 and older have received at least one dose of the vaccine. Just over 55% of state residents 12 and older now have the full vaccine series. A new revenue source for farmers could be taking shape. Andrew Walmsley is a congressional relations director with American Farm Bureau. He's speaking about carbon credits and banking during Dakota Fest in Mitchell. Carbon is a greenhouse gas. Walmsley says farmers could get paid to store carbon in the ground or reduce their carbon emissions.
What's unique about agriculture is that we can sequester carbon. And so that's certain soil practices that a farmer, if it meets the needs of their farm and makes economic sense, and maybe these carbon credits help them to get there, that's practices like utilizing cover crops or going to no-till. Is those types of soil health practices that can sequester carbon in the soil and provide a societal benefit.
The Biden administration has floated the idea of a USDA-run carbon bank. Separately, some private companies are offsetting their pollution by paying farmers to store carbon. South Dakota kindergarten classrooms may see more students this fall. That's because many parents kept their children home during the pandemic. SDPB's Jenna Scott has the story.
Early childhood and pre-K programs are often a good indicator of how many kindergarten students a school district can prepare for. But many South Dakota families don't have access to such programs, and that leaves schools in the dark. Head Start is one of the programs that prepares young children for school. Carmen Stewart directs the Head Start program at USD.
So we have some numbers regarding how many children are enrolled in Head Start, but there are so many children that stay at home or receive service in unregulated preschool or unregulated childcare that it is really hard to get any solid numbers as a state.
That leaves teachers unsure about how many students to prepare for. Some students receive ample preparation for kindergarten at home, while others receive little support.
A kindergarten teacher, that first day of school and that first year, they're really challenged because they may have children in a two-year age spread with lots of different early childhood experiences coming into their door.
Stewart says Head Start helps transition students into school. She says the program also helps parents understand their child's developmental abilities and the best options that are available for their education. I'm SDPB's Jenna Scott.
Invasive zebra mussels are spreading in South Dakota waters. This summer, there are new efforts to keep the species in check along the Missouri River. SDPB's Laura Johnson has more.
There's a growing infestation of zebra mussels on the Missouri reservoirs. Gary Hinkle is Deputy Chief of Operations in Omaha for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. He says Gavin's Point Dam in Yankton County has been hit the hardest so far.
For the summer of 2020, Gavin's had to have each of the three units shut down at three different times to clear the zebra mussels from the cooling water piping. A typical Gavin's Point outage for a week could be up to $50,000 in lost revenue.
Hinkle says that loss of revenue could raise utility prices for customers of the Western Area Power Administration.
People benefit from the power that we produce actually have an arrangement where they will provide the government upfront funding for important projects, usually capital improvement projects.
Hinkle says prices have not risen yet because of zebra mussels. Gavin's Point Dam is the only one on the reservoir that's needed maintenance so far, but the Army Corps is using other methods to prevent the zebra mussels from spreading. Russell Kiefer is Operation Projects Manager at Fort Randall Dam, just upstream from Gavin's Point. He says zebra mussels attach to the inside of pipes, clogging the cooling devices needed for generating units.
You're probably talking a good month to remove all the air coolers and clean them out and so forth. So that's a lot of revenue loss. It'd be millions in lost revenue just for an outage to take care of something and you know, that can be easily treated for, you know, $25,000-$30,000 a year using Earth-Tech QZ chemical in an injection system.
Kiefer says his team is getting ahead of the problem. Fort Randall will inject a diluted copper ion solution into the cooling system of the dam later this summer. It will knock zebra mussel colonies out of the piping. Kiefer says even further upstream at the Big Bend Dam, they're using a copper generator that works similarly to the copper ion solution. Both facilities had to get pesticide permits to use copper in their cooling system. That's because the copper eventually makes its way downstream. John Hargrave is a water quality specialist for the Army Corps Omaha District.
It will be massively diluted because of just the volumes that they have going through their upstream and downstream. And it's what we saw at Big Bend is just the volumes going through there will dilute it to a level that's below the detection limit at our laboratory.
Hargrave says the Corps will continue to watch levels of copper concentration. Zebra mussels are native to Eurasia, but hitchhiked in the ballast tanks of ocean-going ships. They were first discovered in the Great Lakes in 1988. Since then, the mussels have lake-hopped to other waterways across the U.S. Tiny zebra mussels are called villagers. UV light systems can destroy them, a technique the Corps is trying in some locations. Nick Harrington is communications manager for the State Game, Fish, and Parks Department. He says boaters can help prevent the spread of mussels.
They're microscopic, and there can be, in a 5-gallon bucket, you look in, it looks like it's empty. It's not. I mean, in that 5-gallon bucket, we could have 900 villagers in there. And if that gets moved to a different water body, that's how these zebra mussels spread.
Harrington says that's the reason for a state law that makes people take their boat plugs out when moving from one body of water to another. Reporting for SDPB, I'm Laura Johnson.
With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.